This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
It's 12:03, May 6th, 2024. Good afternoon, and thanks so much for joining us for the Monday edition of the WBBM Noon Business Hour. I'm Rachel Pearson, and I'm filling in for Rob Hart. Governor Pritzker wants the state to make a pretty large investment in quantum computing. We'll cover that in our next segment. Right now, though, it's hard to believe Mother's Day is already on Sunday, and it can be an occasion with major expectations and big spending. We welcome Jennifer Waters, Chicago-based business reporter. And Jen, this is our reminder, you can't blame us if you forget a Mother's Day gift because we're giving you plenty of notice.
That's right, Rachel. The clock is ticking. Get on it if you haven't.
Here's the thing, though, and this is actually going to be my first Mother's Day, and maybe I share sentiment with other moms out there where maybe I don't necessarily want an item, maybe an experience, right? A massage, mm-hmm. A little getaway. Are we seeing that trend among other moms, too, of just wanting an experience, maybe more so than a gift?
Yeah, a lot of moms want to just be pampered, and some of that is something like a spa day or something like that. You know, I have a friend, her and her family, they all and she's got a big family, a lot of girls, they all just get together for brunch and leave all the guys and the kids at home. So, you know, there's a lot you can do if you just want to have an experience. There's other, I mean, one, you know, obviously one experience is going out for brunch or meal or something. But, you know, there's other experiences, too, just like a good movie or, you know, a good day to hang out and have a read a book. That's an experience for me.
Now, what are we talking? Go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. Your first Mother's Day, this is an exciting time for you. And I mean, you can, you know, have see how cool it will be to be the mom and be the one who gets the experience or the gift or even, you know, it's really about the sentiment, too, not just the gift.
Yeah, well, now you touch on sentiment, and I think that there's sort of a double-sided coin to that because, mm-hmm. I'm very excited. This is my first Mother's Day. Love my daughter, love my family. But I also, you know, I know a lot of people where Mother's Day can sort of be a tough time, either having lost a mother, struggling with infertility, anything mm-hmm. like that. And so, you know, how do you navigate that in a day that's supposed to be celebratory?
Yeah, I mean, that's the real sensitive side to it. And it's a way you have to really kind of, in some cases, maybe even tiptoe around it. I mean, like you said, lost a parent, but maybe lost a baby, you know, and like a miscarriage or a stillborn. And then there are some mothers who this is their first Mother's Day or maybe one of many as a single mother. That's mm-hmm. a whole different experience as a celebrating Mom's Day. So I think it's really important that you just kind of be aware of the moms around you and what kind of extra care they may or may not need because of that.
Now, Jennifer, when we're talking about spending for Mother's Day, I mean, this nationwide consumers are going to fork over quite a bit of cash here.
Yeah, the National Retail Federation, which always comes out with numbers for this, they said Mother's Day spend is expected to hit $33.5 billion, which blows me away. I mean, that's about $250-$260 bucks a person, a mother. So that's
can you put a price on a mother's love, though? Really?
No, you absolutely cannot. This is a day you get to express gratitude for all the sacrifices your mom makes for you or you make as a mother. But it's also a day, I think, to really stress the importance of the maternal figure in our lives. You know, our mothers are the ones who really have the biggest role in shaping the lives of children and the values and the support. Not that fathers don't misunderstand that, but it's a really important time for people to understand how important mothering is and how much work it is. It's a ton of work.
It's a ton of work, so now's the chance to get those gifts and plans all lined up. Thanks so much, Jennifer Waters, Chicago-based business reporter. Coming up, we'll talk about the role of quantum computing in the future of Illinois.
Information to make cash and save cash. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker wants lawmakers to agree to fund what could be the biggest technology project in state history. Well, let's talk about it with Matt Wren, founder and chief technology officer at VRAR Chicago. Matt, first of all, I need to ask and explain this like I'm five. What is quantum computing?
All right. So thanks for having me back. Okay. Quantum computing is very confusing to a lot of people, so don't feel bad. To understand a quantum computer, it helps easier to understand a regular computer. A regular computer stores data as zeros or ones, and it does that using transistors, which is basically a small piece of metal. And if it's charged, it's a one. If it's not charged, it's a zero. So that's how a regular computer works. Everything is a zero or one, and it's using a physical transistor to store that. Now, in order to do really, really complex calculations, even like something like playing a video game, that generates a lot of heat because you're generally charging and discharging a lot of electricity to do that. It creates a lot of heat. It uses a lot of power. So what a quantum computer does, which is different, is you're using a couple different principles. One is superconductivity. So you're essentially operating at very, very, very cold temperatures, which essentially makes the electrical resistance zero. And you're measuring the actual like state of charge of something as small as almost an electron or a single atom. And so because you're operating at such a cold temperature and you're able to essentially not have as much resistance, electrical resistance, it allows you to do massive amounts of calculations much, much faster.
So what are the applications of this? And specifically, why does Governor Pritzker want to invest $500 million for quantum computing in Illinois?
Okay, so obviously artificial intelligence has been gaining a ton of popularity. Mm-hmm. Artificial intelligence requires a ton of processing power. In order to train artificial intelligence models, it's a massive, massive amount of processing. And quantum computing can do it a lot faster. So that's one of the reasons for it. And when you start to think about any sort of really heavy data crunching, anything that's going to be informing our future for things like environmental concerns and being able to figure out probabilities of space travel and all sorts of anything that's really heavy math, quantum computing can be very, very powerful for. And so why Governor Pritzker wants to invest in it is because it's an early technology. It's going to require a lot of development before it becomes, really useful commercially. And so this is a huge growth area. It's an area where it could have a massive return on investment, be a very, very big area of growth.
And Matt, just real quick, what is the human aspect of all of this? I know you can have a degree in computer science and things like that, but is this something where we're already seeing specializations in quantum computing that would then program this to be able to support artificial intelligence?
Yes, absolutely. But I mean, even beyond just, having a specialty in quantum computing, you got to realize some of the support that is going to need to go into this. So you're going to have a cryogenic facility. There's going to be tons of construction jobs. There's going to be lots of supporting jobs that go with just building and maintaining a facility, in addition to having the actual like specialization in creating and using the quantum computing. That there's a whole huge slew of jobs that will come around this. And then, of course, as quantum computing grows, there's going to be a whole series of new jobs that develop because of that as well.
Thanks so much for the insight, Matt Wren, founder and chief technology officer at VRAR Chicago. Up next, we'll take a closer look at the impact of closing costs when it comes to buying a house.
Compounding your interest with an economy of words. This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
Higher interest rates and some pricier listings are making things tough for home buyers, but there's another big expense, and that's closing costs. Let's take a look with Drew Wishover, founder and owner of Inspired Title Group here in Chicago. And Drew, what all factors into the final bill when you're closing on a house?
That's a great question, and thanks for having me again, Rachel. There's a lot of things that factor into it. There are things that, you know, when people buy a house, they get their mortgage. So obviously the mortgage lenders put their fees on there as well. And then you've got the title fees, and you've got origination fees. You've got then the real estate fees from the realtors. And that obviously we're waiting to see what's going to happen with that as well.
So is that really changed that much? Meaning, we know that the interest rates are responding to the Fed. We know that home prices are responding to the housing market. But really, how much wavering do we see in closing costs?
Not so much from the standpoint of, you know, what the actual title companies charge and what the lenders charge. They're trying to get more creative with, you know, rolling those closing cost fees into some loans and things. And buyers need to know that they have an opportunity to shop this around. They don't have to just, you know, go to wherever they're being directed. They have options to find out what type of, you know, places are and what they're offering. Attorneys factor into this as well. Illinois is an attorney state too.
So what are some things to keep in mind when you're looking at closing costs, other than, you know, potentially looking elsewhere for which lender to go with? I feel like a lot of people, though, maybe have that set up before they're ready to sign papers and close.
Yeah, for sure. Things that you can really look for is seeing, you know, maybe putting less money down so you have a little bit more money to in reserve to pay these fees. These fees also, understand too, are only a one-time fee. It's not like a monthly reoccurring fee, except obviously your mortgage is, but not the other fees that you're paying this one time. And really, when you look at the big picture, it's usually only 2 to 6% of what the loan amount is really what you're paying in these fees. So the really, as I said, the big thing is to shop it around from lenders to title insurance companies. You can even negotiate with the realtors as to what they're going to do for their commissions.
Well, and if you take that out of, like you mentioned, your down payment, that's not going to make a huge difference in your monthly mortgage, but it will eliminate those fees, those that really, like you said, aren't going anywhere.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Thanks so much for joining us, Drew Wishover, founder and owner of Inspired Title Group in Chicago. Still ahead, how the death of a leader could affect the future of a brand or business. Plus, we'll have a couple of suggestions for our Monday stock pick.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Good afternoon. I'm Rachel Pearson in for Rob Hart, and these are the top stories on News Radio WBBM. Protesters at the University of Chicago are getting support from members of the school's faculty. Former President Donald Trump has issued another fine for violating a gag order at his hush money trial in New York. The death of a leader, that can have major implications for a brand or business. Plus, it's Stock Picker Monday. We'll get a couple of suggestions from an investing pro. WBBM Business, the Dow up 103 points, NASDAQ up 111, the S&P 500 up 33 points. AccuWeather says a lot of sunshine today, just some stubborn clouds. Temperatures, though, reaching a high right around 74 degrees. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues, and former President Donald Trump will have to pay a price for his refusal to stay silent about his New York criminal trial.
In his most explicit warning yet, Judge Juan Merchan told Donald Trump that he is seriously considering putting the former president in jail if he continues to violate the gag order in his hush money case. Trump sat forward in his seat, glaring at the judge as he handed down the ruling, a $1,000 fine for comments made in an April 22nd TV interview about the jury's purported political leanings. Afterward, Trump shook his head twice and crossed his arms, that fine on top of the $9,000 from last week. Before the ruling, Trump had this to say entering court.
He's taken away my constitutional right to speak.
The judge found three other comments did not rise to the level of violations. Julie Walker, New York.
Talks between the University of Chicago and a group of pro-Palestinian students camped out on the quad are stalled. WBBM's Nancy Hardy reports from campus where 120 faculty and staff are showing support.
History professor Faith Hillis says the students behind what's called the Popular University Encampment are not impeding classes and have been nonviolent in their protests.
Not everyone likes the message that the students have for us, and not everyone wants to hear it. But discomfort is not the same as disruption.
Philosophy professor Anton Ford echoed students' demands, calling on university leadership to divest and give up on staying neutral on the issue of the war, citing a decades-old university document.
Even the Calvin Report makes room for exceptional moments when the university's ownership of property, including its financial investments, might have to be reassessed because they are incompatible with, quote, paramount social value.
Some professors say they came ready to be arrested amid fears of a late-night police raid. At the University of Chicago, Nancy Hardy, News Radio 105.9 WBBM.
And WBBM has reached out to the university for comment.
It's 60 minutes of financial planning. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Well, markets are gaining ground here. Joining us with the latest is Paul Nolte, senior wealth advisor and market strategist at Murphy and Silvest here in Chicago. Paul, what do you make of the markets today, and specifically maybe eyeing the Fed cutting rates a little sooner than expected?
That's the on-again, off-again question. I mean, coming into the Fed meeting, the chances of them cutting rates had been severely diminished, and we get to Friday's unemployment report, and all of a sudden it's starting to crop up again, the discussion of maybe two cuts sometime this year. We've been in the camp that we probably won't be cutting rates this year, and the main reason for it is really twofold. One, inflation remains pretty sticky around that 3% level. And to this point, the economy really hasn't weakened that much. I mean, the jobs data was okay. It was a little bit below expectations. But really, 187,000 new jobs is pretty good in a normal month. We've been spoiled, I think, by the huge amount of gains that we've seen over the last three, 4 years. But I think the economy continues to do reasonably well, and until that proves otherwise, I think it's going to be hard for the Fed to cut rates.
Now, Paul, you touched on us being spoiled by a lot of gains, and I have to think that artificial intelligence was a driving force behind a lot of that, at least earlier on in the year. So is the AI trade still in an upward trajectory, or is that phase sort of over and done?
I think it is still in an upward trajectory. However, it's not as steep. I think what we're going to be looking for now over the next couple of years is where does AI get used and where are the benefits and who are going to be the beneficiaries of that. So we may see it in healthcare. So who are going to be those that are going to be able to implement AI for reading documents, et cetera, or maybe coming up with new drugs. Where does that come into when you're talking about retail or maybe consumer discretionary companies? So there's a lot of applications, and I think really the next generation is going to be more about the application of AI and where does that happen than maybe the companies that are behind it.
Yeah, I mean, I think 2023 was the year of introducing AI, and you sort of alluded to, I think 2024 can be summarized in the word of application. So let's talk about, I know that peak earnings have pretty much passed, but there's still some companies that investors are keeping an eye on as far as earnings reports coming up later this week. What are you looking at?
Yeah, and really when you look at the earnings numbers, we tend to look more at the top line than the bottom line. So a lot of companies are beating earnings estimates and net income, certainly earnings per share growth is still there. But the top line revenue, and I think that got highlighted by Apple, has really been flattening out for a lot of companies. So where they're doing well is managing their margins, but the top line growth of revenue growth has slowed down dramatically. And that may be one of the things that we look at when we talk about a slower economy in the second half of the year. But so far, we really haven't seen much more than a few signs here and there.
What are the threats to the market right now, the biggest obstacles?
I think some of the threats are still higher interest rates. You know, when you look at a market that's selling at 25 times earnings, you flip that over and you get an earnings yield of 4%. You're now getting 5 in the bond market and getting more than that in corporate bonds. So I think investors look around and go, all right, maybe things do slow down. Remember, the only reason the Fed's going to cut rates is because things aren't going all that well. They don't cut rates when things are going well. So in that type of a scenario, you want to have some money in the treasury market or in fixed income so that you can then use those assets if and when the markets decline to reallocate back into equities at lower prices.
Thanks so much for the insight. Paul Nolte, Senior Wealth Advisor and Market Strategist at Murphy & Silvest in Chicago. Up next, we'll talk about the impact on a business when it loses its prominent leader.
Money Talks as the WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
93-year-old Warren Buffett has weighed in on his own mortality at this year's Berkshire Hathaway annual meeting. So let's talk about the potential impact on businesses and brands when it loses a key leader. Tom Hudson is a financial journalist in Miami. And Tom, there's certain businesses where you know the name of the founder or CEO. Elon Musk and Tesla are pretty much synonymous. Think about Oprah, Martha Stewart, even the late Steve Jobs and Apple. Yep. So obviously there's some benefit in having name recognition with a brand, but what happens when life sets in and then death?
Yeah, death and taxes, the two things we can count on, right?
Right.
And when it comes to death, shareholders need to be aware of a succession plan for a founder, a cult of personality type, a larger than life executive whose image and reputation has really shaped a company. And I think Warren Buffett, you saw it this weekend with the annual Mecca and pilgrimage to Omaha for the shareholder meeting for Berkshire Hathaway. And Buffett, even at 93, can still hold court. There's no doubt about it. And Berkshire Hathaway, as this massive conglomerate, everything from candy to insurance and paint and ice cream in between, is a very solid operation. But there's no doubt that there is a mystique and an aura around Warren Buffett. And what will happen when the inevitable happens to Mr. Buffett in terms of the company? I think the stock could have a bit of a premium in that Warren Buffett personality. The companies it's invested in, though, Warren Buffett's not making those day-to-day decisions. Those are professional executives that Buffett has hired through the years.
You know, a certain HBO show comes to mind when we're talking about all of this. but here's what I do want to pick your brain on. Let's talk about Apple and let's talk about Steve Jobs, because I think that this might be, correct me if I'm wrong, I think this is the exception, not the rule, in that Steve Jobs passed away and surprisingly, Tim Cook took the reins and ran with it and it worked.
Yeah, unbelievably successful after the untimely passing of Steve Jobs. He was just in his 50s when he died. And Tim Cook, a relative unknown outside of the world of Apple, came in and really tightened up the business, focused on mobile devices, focused on services, and has continued to pump profits into that company for shareholders. Compare that, Rachel, with Starbucks and its difficulty in finding a successor for Howard Schultz, who was the founder of Starbucks. Of course, he's tried to retire at least twice, and the company has had real difficulty in holding true to its brand as well as the financial power of that $3 or $4 cup of coffee in absence of Mr. Schultz in the CEO corner office.
I don't know enough about the behind the scenes of Apple to know if Tim Cook was sort of waiting in the wings, but I would imagine that these large companies could take a lesson from the pages of Apple and at least use it as an example here, because I have to think that preparation is going to be really key in successfully transferring power.
There's a lot of ink, time, energy, blood, and sweat spilled on succession planning of companies, and they don't always work out. And frankly, you know, oftentimes, Rachel, it's not a surprise that there are some hiccups along the way, especially with these larger-than-life personality types who perhaps have difficulty in breaking away, or rather, the board has difficulty breaking away from these large personalities that have constructed these boards of directors as reflections of their own personalities. Boards that are constructed with different parts of a succession plan in mind perhaps are the most successful, because the power is not tied up into one particular personality or personality type.
Right, right. Thanks so much. Tom Hudson, financial journalist in Miami. And a reminder that you can join us at this time tomorrow for Travel Tuesday. And still to come, it's Stock Picker Monday.
The only program dedicated to currency events. You're listening to the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
It's Monday, which means it's Stock Picker Monday. And helping us out this afternoon is Chuck Carlson, CEO of Horizon Investment Services and publisher of the website UpsideStocks.com, based in Hammond, Indiana. Chuck, so glad to have you back with us. What's your first pick?
The first pick is Victory Capital. The symbol is VCTR. It trades for about $52 a share. Victory is a global asset manager, so it's a manager of mutual funds, separately managed accounts, et cetera. And the company revenue rises as their asset levels they manage rise, and they've had nice growth in their assets here over the last year or so. Earnings should be up about 13% in the most recent quarter here, and for the year, we're looking for about a 16% increase in earnings. And the good news here is earnings estimates have been rising nicely, so there might be some kicker to earnings here as the year progresses. It's a kind of a mid-cap stock. Its market capitalization is only about $3 billion, so it'll be susceptible to some of those issues. It affects smaller and mid-sized companies. One other plus is its dividend yield is 2.5%, so you get a nice dividend yield in addition to the total return. So that's Victory Capital, symbol is VCTR.
All right, and Chuck, your second pick.
Second pick is Vertiv. Symbol is V as in Victor, RT. It trades for $96 a share. Vertiv is kind of an interesting way to play this whole generative AI boom that's out there. And they don't do semiconductors. They don't do computers. What Vertiv does is they create the infrastructure and build the infrastructure for things like data centers and communication networks. So they're kind of, they're the builders of these things, and their specialty in the area that's very important here with the growth of AI is that they're in thermal management, which means they do cooling systems and solutions. And AI and data centers with AI are having increasing demands in terms of cooling requirements and cooling solutions, and Vertiv does that. The company's had big earnings revisions upward. Earnings this year should be up 34%. In 2025, they should be up 28%. So this is a very fast-growing company in a fast-growing field. That's Vertiv. Stock trades for $96 a share. You get a little bit of a dividend, about 0.1%. And our company and our clients own both of these stocks.
Thanks so much, Chuck Carlson, CEO of Horizon Investment Services, publisher of the website UpsideStocks.com. If you missed any part of today's Noon Business Hour, we'll have the replay podcast available pretty shortly at WBBMNewsRadio.com. It'll also be available on the Odyssey app.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.